Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Well-meaning moralists, some would call them conditionalists, see all of the what-ifs of the various accounts of God's dealing with his people in the Scripture, but usually fail to see the glory of the what was. Those who would only see the immorality of David with Bathsheba and the resultant heartache and sin brought on by that union often miss the fact that God directed this whole incident to occur to fulfill prophecy and to demonstrate to David the depravity of his own heart, and in it to remind every sinner he is called after David that unless the Lord restrains us, we shall all fall into the same thing, if not worse. Who among the saints of God has not read Psalm 51 and identified themselves with the lament of David, or have been comforted by the hope which he expressed? Likewise, when these moralists look at the book of Job, they see wisdom in the words of Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar. They see all of Job's failings, but they cannot see the sovereign hand of God dealing with Job according to his purpose, and not according to some conditionalist concept wherein Job could earn the blessings of God or have them withheld simply because of disobedience. They cannot see that any obedience which might occur in the sons of God is the product of his work in them. When they look at Samson, they see a sad tale of the wasted potential of Samson's life. Now, indeed, who can fail to see the demonstration of man's stupid, headlong rush to his own doom? But the account of Samson is given to teach us a much greater lesson than any of that. God would demonstrate that the power of his might is that which enables his children to triumph. It seems quite apparent that Samson was not built like the Incredible Hulk, or it would have been obvious to his enemies wherein his strength lay. He was just an ordinary man who was indwelt with the extraordinary power of God. God would have all of the glory in Samson's triumphs, his seeming defeat, and his ultimate triumph in the destruction of the Philistines. The Lord's people need the continual exhortations of the Scriptures, which remind us that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The steps of Samson which led him to Delilah's house were as much ordered of the Lord as those which he took in slaying 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. God would raise up Samson to make his power known in the earth, and he would bring Samson down to demonstrate the same. He would especially manifest the latter to Samson himself, that he might know wherein his power lay. Some have surmised that Samson's strength was in his hair. But it was not his hair, even that he was unaware had been taken from him when Delilah bid him rise, but the very presence of God. His hair was but a symbol and not the substance of his strength. The Lord brought Samson to a place where he would ask the Lord for strength, when he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God. In the life of Samson, we see the fact that the power of God alone is that which would enable his children to accomplish anything of value. We see that when that power is removed, they can do nothing. Because of the dullness of our hearts and the weakness of our minds, we are often not even aware when he departs. This is why man is so in love with his own religious ways. It is easier to rely on the arm of the flesh, but ultimately that can bring no satisfaction to the sons of God. The greater lesson taught in the life of Samson is a depiction of redemption in type and foreshadow. Samson was not apparently different looking from other men. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and only stood out from other men because of the power that he possessed. Samson was brought low, even to the valley of the shadow of death because of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was delivered up to his tormentors for the same. Whereas Samson suffered for his own sin, the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin of his own, but gladly took upon himself the guilt of those whom he came into the world to redeem. Samson's greatest triumph came before a mocking crowd, and he destroyed his and his people's enemies in his death. So too the Lord Jesus Christ was brought as a lamb before its shearers. But in that ignominious death on Calvary's cross, he accomplished exactly what he intended, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He is our champion in death and life.
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.